Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Amen. Good morning, all. Good morning. How's everybody? The fog? Did you make it all through the fog? I know the fog is gone this morning, but over the weekend you had some fog there too, didn't you? This audience, this particular, you know, I welcome all of you online as well as everyone in person here, but I would bet you everyone in here knew that dogs cannot run MRIs, but cats can. For some of you young people that don't get that, life will come to you. That will come to you later in life. By way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on. We want to continue to make you aware of our missional opportunities through the Women of Faith work and what have you. We're excited to have them continue to do their work and to do their mission work. Deb Gunther, our chair of the mission committee, you have something to share with us.
Good morning. First off, May's crop fundraiser will be at Panda Express on May 15th, and then May 18th is the spring clothing giveaway. So, of course, I'm accepting any donation of clothes and spread the word to come that day. We'll probably start sorting on the day, Friday, the day before. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Clothing donations. By the way, if you have an electronic device, this is a great time to remember to turn it off or silence it so that we won't be interrupted. I'm just reminding myself of that very self-same idea. Wouldn't it be embarrassing for the pastor to get a phone call in the middle of the sermon?
Only to take it.
Oh, it's from God. I better take this. Okay. Other announcements for the good of the order, things going on, things that we are preparing for as we move into the day. I don't see any others. I'm not aware of any others. I have to tell you one other thing that happened. If you, as a member of the church, have something that, you know, the church does have a dumpster, and I think we are all able sometimes to have something that needs to be thrown in a dumpster. If you're going to bring it to the dumpster, be sure and call ahead and let us know so that we aren't filling the dumpster up in the wrong times and that sort of thing. This past week, someone left a queen-size mattress there outside the dumpster for us. And I saw it at the beginning of the week, and then Richard came in Friday and he said, let's throw that thing in the dumpster. So we did so. I'm thinking now we should have just slept on it. But if you are bringing stuff to the dumpster, let us know. Give us a little bit of warning. Anything else? Mr. Michael Summerall, Sandra Tinney has her hand in the air. She's either just testing the air temperature or she'd like our attention. Please, Sandy.
I always need your attention.
Thank you.
Saturday, there's going to be a memorial service at the Arvada Methodist Church for Jim Cantor. I just wanted the congregation to know about that. It'll be at 10 o'clock. We are going to try and carpool. The Women's Society is going to try and set a carpool up. And we're going to meet at 9 o'clock in the north parking lot.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Prayers for life and death and life again. Jim Cantor. All right, I don't see any other announcements, but if you think of something, we can bring it up during the prayer time. Otherwise, let's turn our attention to worship. Stand, if you will, wave hello to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship, and we'll put Nalu to work.
Please remain standing as we join in to get this morning's call to worship. Come, children of God, let us join together as a family, as Christ's family. Come, Lord, join us this morning. Lord, give us passion to be your people. Lord, we come here to worship. We come here to pray. We come here to listen. We come here to be challenged. And we come to challenge one another. In steadfast love and faithfulness, God has done marvelous things. Lord, help us grow to be followers of Jesus Christ. Please remain standing as we join in singing Every Time I Feel the Spirit, number 404. Today's first scripture reading is taken from the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. Listen for the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the Lord.
Always a temptation to revert back to the King James Version. Were you doing that along with me? As long as it's internalized in us, whichever version you prefer. And we know the word, and the word is among us, and we are blessed. Amen? In the back of the bulletin, some of the concerns of the family, you see those. Do we have any updates on any of those that you see listed that you might lift them to be aware? Carol Danielson.
I don't have a sister, but my friend Jean, we visit her Friday, and she's doing well in rehab.
I did not get all of that. Michael, what did you?
I don't have a sister, as it says on the back.
Oh, but my error. I'm sorry.
It's my friend Jean. She's in rehab. We visited her Friday, and she's doing well.
Okay. Thank you. On the back of the bulletin, I had to shift gears. I thought you said, I don't have a picture. See, so I went down the wrong road, you know, real early in the journey there. All right. She is in rehab. Jean, recovering. Thank you. Ms. Paya.
Please pray for Takai. Somebody stole his car, so he's without a vehicle, but he's borrowing one from his daughter. So.
Okay, thank you. Such a violation. So very hard. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like I'm gloomy, but I'm not going to pause in reminding us that we are still having youth shooting youth on a regular basis. We need to have that in front of us. We need to think that through. We need to pray that through. This cannot become normal. That's unacceptable. Amen? Others, other concerns that you might lift. Sandy Tenney, you already had year one today, Sandy Tenney. I'm keeping score here. Oh, dear, now she's got two. Hold on.
I was informed by Pastor Peter that Betty Luck has passed away, and her family would like to have a memorial service at 10:30 on May 18th. That's also the day of the clothing drive, but one's going to be upstairs and one's going to be downstairs and out. So I just want people to know that Betty Luckis has passed away.
Thank you. I did forget that. Forgot to announce that. We do have that service. You said you had two things. That was only one.
She did one earlier.
One, two. Oh, very good. New math. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Others, other things we want to be aware of those. By way of birthdays, Larry Contour is having a birthday on Thursday. Ruella, did you know he was having a birthday coming up? And he's, do you want to, I didn't hear what Ruella said.
Yes, I knew.
You knew, okay. Larry, did you want?
When it said I looked older already.
Did you want to say anything about your birthday?
No.
Nope. This is a significant one, is it not?
Yes. Yeah.
This is, he turns octogenarian on Thursday, so 80 years young.
Yeah.
For those of us who know, we will never make it that far, Larry. You give us hope. Celebration. Others, I do not know of other. Oh, Susan.
Yeah, Aretha had a birthday yesterday.
I had her down as having a birthday. We listed it last week. Did you have a good celebration?
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Good.
Several times.
Several times. You know, if you do that, you count every time, and it increments, so you get... No, I don't know if that's true. Happy birthday again. Others? Ruella.
I was going and saw that one. Didn't see you, Ruella. Sorry.
I just wanted to say about Larry's birthday. I am a month older than he is. So for 1 month, I get to be boss. So as of Thursday, my month is over.
I see.
The cradle. Yeah.
Michael, we have a... Did you have your hand up?
I was headed this way. Got interrupted.
My birthday is actually next Sunday.
Your birthday is next Sunday?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't have it on my list. You'll just get, you don't get one.
I know.
Happy birthday. How many?
13.
13. Teenager. Oh, my. We've been in trouble for a while, but celebrations to you, brother. Okay. Miss Paya. Come on, Michael. Yeah, Michael's getting his exercises, getting his steps in for the day.
How am I getting around? Round, get around.
Today we are going to celebrate little Micah Tolutau's second birthday. They moved here from Hawaii a couple months ago, so he's here somewhere in the church.
We'll probably hear from him later, and that'll be a wonderful thing. Grace, kids are a matter of grace. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I don't want to cut this short. Everybody seems to be having fun. And that's a good thing. We're celebrating. I'm a little bit worried about Jim Latau there. He's gotten pushed to the total end of a pew. You know, that's you. Your family's getting so big, you're gonna be sitting outside in the hall. Glad to have all your clan here. All right. Anybody else? Let's turn to our unison prayer. You find it in the bulletin or on the screen. Lord God, hear our prayers. Guide us, O God. Make us like trees planted by flowing streams of living water, absorbing your testimony, living by your truth. Grant us now your word and your love, that we may be your faithful children through Christ. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, thank you for the beauty of this morning. The sun has arisen, and also the sun has arisen, and we are grateful. The days that have been before 84 hours of overcast reminded us of the glory of your magnificent creation and the blessing of the blue skies of Colorado, and the sunshine and the warmth. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful that we are in the midst of a place with such beauty. We are grateful that we are a people blessed by the beauty of your gifts to us. Gifts and graces and celebrations, abilities to care one for another, abilities to reach out in love and compassion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've given us, for all the prosperity that we celebrate and sometimes don't appreciate. We know that all that is good comes from you, and all of our gifts and graces are blessings that you have bestowed upon us. As we come, we ask blessings of perception, that we might grow in Christ, that we might deepen our faith, that we might become more faithful followers of the way, that we might become greater prophets to share the word to those that we love, those that we find, those that we greet. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for all the ways that you are with us and the ways that you continue to guide us and inspire us. We're grateful for the heritage of the faith before us, our forefathers, foremothers, the saints that have gone before us and that now rest from their labors. We are grateful. We're grateful for a nation under God. Help us, Lord, to be that nation, to be unified as one people, not homogenized, but in the diversity of your great creation. Help us, guide us, Lord. Inspire us with your word. Inspire us with the word this morning. Inspire us through song. Inspire us through one another. Lord, in the greatness of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. And through his name, we find redemption and salvation. And we celebrate. Hear us as we gather together in prayer and celebrate our unison prayers with all of the people in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to a moment of peace in the midst of the storm.
Please rise as we join in this morning's scripture reading, which is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. And you can find that in the New Testament of your Pew Bible on pages 97 and 98. Listen for the word of the Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of the Lord. I ask that you please remain standing and invite the children, regardless of age, to come down and lead us through our video hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
lovely. What's her name? She's sweet. She was too short for everybody to see, but wonderful. Beautiful young children. In awe of seeing people singing and dancing and giving praise. Awesome. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Have you ever been lost? It's okay to admit it here. I think one of my favorite lost stories, I asked, I had my phone with Google Maps and it was giving me directions. And we call her Nuvie the Nag. But she gave me directions. It was a Sunday morning and we were on vacation, and she sent me to this address that I put in. I pulled up this residential street and says, "You have arrived." And I was in the middle of a residence, and there was a fella out in front working on his car there, but I was pretty sure I wasn't at a church. And I thought, well, that's what I get for following the wrong guide. Amen. I think the most lost I've ever been, though, is in the mountains. You get down in the trees and you can't see the peaks and you can't see any landmarks. And, you know, all of those piney trees tend to look alike. I was hiking in Twin Peaks up by Leadville. Came down after the peaks and got down, and I thought, well, our campsite's just on the other side of the river, so we came down and got to the river there, but the bridge that had been there before was gone. And I thought, no, it should be right here. Well, was I upstream of the bridge or downstream of the bridge when I'd come down? So I was lost for a little while there. Obviously, I found my way back. Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep. Pi, I think we have this slide. Jesus told them this parable, "Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he or she finds it?" The lost sheep, and I am grateful, and I think that the lost sheep in the Bible isn't it about the same kind of loss that I experience in forests? The lost sheep in the Bible is making reference, and I got to apologize here. Have you noticed the pollen is out? They said it's 30% worse than it's ever been, and it's going to be 200 years longer each season than it has been. I exaggerate a little bit. But the lost sheep in the Bible isn't about getting lost in the trees or lost from Google Maps. It's about becoming adrift in the world. Adrift with doubt and fear. Lost from broken hearts. Sometimes that happens in life. We're journeying along and a tragedy impacts us, and I've known families and they are brokenhearted and they feel lost because how could God have allowed something like this to have happened to them? And it's easy to understand when we're overwhelmed by pain or fear, physical or mental pain and anxieties, and we begin to feel separated from God. Events occur in our lives, things that upset us and just we're indignant about them, and we get caught up in the moment of that indignation and that anger, and even if it's righteous and appropriate, it takes us down a path that separates us from the loving God that is there with us. And sometimes in that separation, we become angry at God. I think God has broad enough shoulders to understand. Don't lay guilt on yourself that you are angry at God. Don't lay guilt on yourselves for feeling what you're feeling. Understand that in your perceptions, you may not see God through the fog. It doesn't mean God isn't there. This would have been a perfect sermon for the other day. It was so overcast, you couldn't see the sun. It was still there. We just couldn't see it. And the same is true sometimes. But there's another lost I want to kind of talk about today. I've told some of you that I kind of grew up on a farm. I mean, it wasn't a farm in the middle of nowhere, but we had a horse and a cow and chickens and huge gardens. And, you know, we did our fair share of all of the farm work around the place and what have you. But there was one role that everybody had a part in and that you were mandated to be in the midst of. And the worst occurrence the time that I remember most vividly, it was earlier in the morning on a Saturday. I was sleeping in, trying to catch up on some of the sleep that I'd lost from school day after school day after school day. And I hear this scream, "The cow's in the garden." Well, Mom would go out and plant a huge garden. We ate out of that garden all year long. We canned and put away, and she had a massive garden. All of us participated. And we had a wonderful cow. She was docile and sweet and cared for us. You could run kids underneath, around, over, and never hurt a single one of them. And growing up, when all this had occurred a couple of times, somehow it was always in the time of year when the garden was right at its most productive. And I remember thinking, the poor cow must have just taken a wrong turn and she got in here by accident. It was intriguing that as we came out and we all tried to yell at her and shoo her back out of the garden, back into the pasture, she didn't seem to want to go back. It was a kind of a strange, straightforward thing, and you all know that she was in the middle of the most luscious temptation that could possibly be. The garden had all come up, and all of the things that were just beautiful and luscious and wonderful were right there on the other side of the fence from her, and temptation overcame. My mother, I can remember her screaming at the cow with tears streaming down her face. "How could you do this to me?" she'd shout. "How could you do this?" And the cow, I'm sure, was responding back, "Have you seen how beautiful all that goodies looked? That temptation was too much to stand." So this is the loss that worries me. It isn't loss from some events that impact, but it's loss from a temptation that draws us away from a path with God to the temptations of whatever it may be. And it is the parable of the lost sheep. It is the parable of those who have gone astray and who are outside the herd. There are people who want to lift up there that Jesus left the 99 to go hunt for the one that's lost. Well, who's watching out for the 99? Believe me, Jesus is able to handle all of those at once. So what about that temptation, that luscious temptation that can draw people? How to help? What to do? We share the good news. The good news is that repenting, we are forgiven and drawn back. And out of being drawn out after temptations, those various things that draw us away. I remember years ago reading this. This is not that long ago, but I remember reading that Bill Gates was having financial troubles. At that point in time, he was one of the four wealthiest men in the world. But financial flow was somehow being impacted, and he was struggling to make the bill payments on this business or that business. And I thought, if Bill Gates has financial trouble, who doesn't have financial trouble? And I read stories, sad stories of gifted, talented people who die at an early age, die from lifestyles that have taken their lives, die from the temptations they have succumbed to. And some of them, I am convinced, have died because they have followed those temptations. They pursued the worldly goods, and they've gotten them all, and they find it empty. And there is nothing there. They have all of that. They've poured all that they have into searching and trying to get to that, and they've found it empty. It's like Melissa and I driving, coming to church, and we come to the end of our journey, and there was there was no church there. But this is much more serious. The good news is that Christ can save us and pull us back and redeem us and bring us back into the flock. And not only that, but that Christ is searching for us. This is the good shepherd. This is the one that knows that we have succumbed to temptation when we have. And this shepherd is searching out. He says, people, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. It worries me a little, because I am finding more and more often in society around us the people that really don't know, haven't been exposed to church, haven't been raised in a church. I got into a conversation about the Good Samaritan one day, and two gals standing there, they had never heard the biblical story of the Good Shepherd. They'd heard about a Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd was somebody who's really nice and whatever. And the Good Samaritan, a Samaritan has come to be equated with someone who is good and wonderful and you welcome to have around you, but Samaritans were just the opposite during the telling of his original parable. So not understanding, and it worries me. It's a concern. They don't seem to know the shepherd. How is that connection going to be made? It is not our job to be the shepherd. It is not our job to make sure that everyone knows the shepherd. It is our job to offer. But it is never our job to save anyone. And sometimes we get caught up in that, and sometimes we want to argue and persuade and force and push someone to somewhere, and that's never our job. We're just sheepies. We're just sheepies walking side by side, loving one another, caring, reaching out, and being companions one to another, offering love and support. We cannot save one another, even as we cannot save ourselves, but the shepherd can, and that's the good news. I have to make an interesting confession. I follow a couple of YouTube channels, and one is this fella in Japan, and one is a machinist in Australia, and the one in Japan speaks no English. They have automatic subtitles, which are as humorous as they are erroneous at times. But he's working on his property, and we follow him around as he does this. Just a fascinating man. And I remember hearing him as he would explain things, and of course it was in Japanese, and I didn't understand what he was saying. But then one day I was watching the video of this machinist in Australia, and he has a dog. They adopted a dog. They named it Homeless. But the dog began to bark, and I thought, I wonder what that means in Australian. What's an Australian dog accent mean? And then I heard a cat on the Japanese one, and a cat meowed, and I thought, I wonder what that means in Japanese. Think about it a minute. I mean, I had to sit and laugh at myself. I mean, a cat's a cat and a dog's a dog. I don't think that the language and the people around them influence what language they're barking or meowing in. And I had to kind of think about my own ability to adapt to a people of another culture, and somehow I might get lost thinking that I needed further connection with them in some way. I am not the shepherd. Nalu wrote it this morning, read the passage, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. That passage is just amazing to me and exciting to me and unsettling to me in a good way. And it's reminding me that we have one way of being in relationship with Christ and one gathering of Christians, but there are many. And the shepherd has many sheep in many places. And they don't have to look like me. And they don't have to sound like me. And they don't have to have the history and the enculturation that I have. They can be of all different colors and shapes and sizes. God's diversity is amazing. And Jesus says, I must bring them also. Now, historians think, well, he was just referring to the Gentile mission. We're aware that Jesus was Jewish, and initially the Jews felt like it was only to them that he was speaking, but Greeks came, Romans came, Parthians came, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, all over the world, everywhere were coming those other sheep from those other fields. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This gives me great hope. We don't have to be homogeneous. Fact is, we will never manage that. We will never. It reminds me of that joke you've heard me tell probably before. If a cruise ship is traveling along, they come along a desert island, and there's a man on the beach of this little island waving his arms. So they send out a boat, and they go and they rescue this man who's been a castaway on the island. And they bring him aboard, and they take him up to the captain, and he thanks the captain for saving him. And the captain says, I have a question. I said, what about the others on the island? And he says, oh, I'm the only one. He says, but there are three huts. And the man says, oh, well, that hut is my house. And that hut, that's the church I used to go to, and that's the church I go to now. Human nature and diversity and not homogeny and unity in a way that allows for diversity. I don't know how many different colors of sheep. Richard, I know that you grew up with some kind of farming background. Did you have sheep? No. Anybody? Any sheep herders? Deb Gunther did. What colors of sheep were there? I can't really hear you, but I thought you said red. White and what? White and gray. I've heard of black sheep. Yours were black, Larry? And some brown ones. No checkerboards, no paisleys. Think about a moment the diversity of relations and of people and nations and cultures and languages. And think about all of the sheep. And that they can know Jesus' name, and Christ can call them. It is reassuring to me. I can turn and I can say, I shall not want, my cup overflows. Amen? Barbara, can I put you to work? And Richard, if you would come help lead us to him, because he lives, 364. Stand if you are able and comfortable doing so.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still. Certain days because he lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Richard. What a grateful moment. How thankful to have the shepherd, to be led, to be saved. That's the good news. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, share the good news. Share the love. Unify the world in his name. Amen?
Amen.
Let's join hands and sing our closing. God's people said,
amen. Amen.